Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is David DePrill, Vice President of Product Marketing here at Anapsys. Many thanks to those who are joining us today for the fourth in our Bright Talk series for ERP security. This one is called 1,000 Reasons, Lessons Learned from a Decade of Business Critical Application Security. Today I'm sitting down with the founders of Anapsys, two of them, Mariano Nunez, our CEO, and JP Perez Echegoye, our CTO, for a conversation around their journey over the past decade with Anapsys and their take on the current state of critical application security. Gentlemen, welcome, and thanks for joining me today. Thank you. Excellent. So Mariano, I think I'm going to start with you. Take us back. Take us all the way back to the beginning. What was the genesis for Anapsys, right? What was your experience, and was there any sort of particular aha moment for you with like?
Well, all the way back. So the founding team, JP, myself, Victor, we're cybersecurity guys, right? We didn't know anything about SAP, ERP, Oracle Business Apps. So we were actually working together at a consulting firm out in Argentina as part of the offensive security team. Okay. So we would be doing penetration testing, like for web applications, for infrastructure, like social engineering, basically working with large organizations in Argentina, helping them find their exposure, find the flaws before the bad guys would, so we can improve the security of their environments. And it was honestly by like accident, I would say, that at one of these engagements, I ran into an ERP system. So we started trying really to just, like as we would do with any other system, trying to see, okay, how would someone be able to try to compromise this application so we can protect it? And I think the first aha moment was that we very quickly found ways, even without having a user, to be able to basically hack into the environment, which was a healthcare company in that situation. You know what these applications run, right? They have the most critical data, critical processes. So very quickly, without even just being plugged into the network of that company without any user, we were able to get that level of access. So that was the first aha moment. And then I think I started trying to understand, okay, how this is possible, right? Yeah. You think about the most critical data, critical process, the largest enterprise applications in the planet. And what I realized was, it's not that people were being negligent about it. It's not that, no one was saying, oh, we don't need to protect these applications. Really the challenge was that everyone was doing what's called segregation of duties or access controls, like GRC type of controls that are really important to protect like the who can do what, but they're not sufficient to really prevent against cybersecurity attacks. So that was, I think, the first aha moment, like realizing that, okay, this is potentially a huge gap in the industry where everyone has a false sense of security on these critical assets. And there was this kind of weird dynamic that no one was like talking about this. Yeah. All the cybersecurity community was looking at database security and endpoint at firewalls, right, and network, and no one was looking at business critical apps. So that was probably the first aha moment of like, wow, there may be something pretty big here.
Was that really surprising for you? Because it seems like it's kind of a gap there, right? Like you would think it's kind of defense in depth, right? You surround everything, but then that one key piece, I don't know, it's just interesting.
Yeah, I think honestly it was, just when you think about what these applications do for our world, they're really literally running the digital economy, right? You have like trillions of dollars going through them. You have the most like critical and sensitive organizations on the planet relying on these apps to function. So I think the surprise was how this was only not a problem at a specific company, but a large scale attack against these applications could have macroeconomic and basically like global implications. So I was surprised about the asymmetry of like how insecure most implementations were at that time, with the potential impact of something bad going on.
Right. So maybe like over reliance on some of the native tools like segregation and duties, as you were saying, and not really thinking about that broader piece of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that the software was inherently insecure.
Sure.
It was more that how companies were running the system, implementing the system. They were doing all the segregation of duties controls, but no one was looking at configurations, no one's looking at security patches, no one's looking at the interfaces, at the custom code of those apps. So there was, you know, this huge gap on how systems could have been secured, but they were in practice not.
And I think especially with these systems, there's so much complexity, there's so much sprawl, that if you lose sight of some of those like basic things like configurations or just like that access control piece, it can run out of control really quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's I think, specifically in this segment, it's a huge challenge, yeah. Right? You have cybersecurity teams that do not know, like, all those proprietary protocols and complexity and acronyms, and they just don't have visibility. They don't have a way. They're just trusting they cannot trust and verify.
Yeah.
And that's definitely one of the challenges in this space.
100%. JP, did you have any sort of similar thoughts there?
Yeah, building on that, like, aha moment, yeah. I think what comes to my mind is at the very beginning, when we were doing the assessment of, like, multi-billion dollar organizations, yeah, running gigantic SAP implementations, in most cases, we were telling them, hey, like, you have these critical vulnerabilities, like, your most important information could be exposed. And in many cases, they wouldn't believe us. So we had to actually go and show them, look, if an attacker is doing this and that,
yeah,
and we were, like, mimicking the attacker, showing, okay, this is your customers table. These are your purchase orders. These are your formulas, yeah, and that type of thing, to show them, because literally they didn't believe us. So it was really a journey, right? Yeah. To going from, hey, there is exposure, there is a lot of risk here, to show them and really having organizations acting on that.
That's crazy. So. So you started in Ansys, or, you know, out of a small little office, as I recall hearing way back.
Oh yeah, office sounds better than bedroom.
Well, you know, office. These days, an office is a bedroom, right, so that's right, how that's it works. Right. So when did you really know that you were on the right track? Obviously, you had those aha moments. Clearly, there was a gap, but, you know, the gap and that, there's not always a product market fit, right? Sometimes. So so when did you know you're like, oh wait, this could be huge. This,
yeah. Yeah, I think that, I mean, as we started doing more and more of this education in the market, raising awareness, like, we started getting invited to speak at Black Hat, RSA, NEFCON, and I think every time I finished those sessions, or JP would speak, we'll finish the presentations, we will see people coming, like, to, kind of waiting for us, to talk, yeah, to us, and you'll see a lot of people that were, like, almost like, I've been waiting for, like, someone to, like, to figure this out, because I think there's a lot, it was people, like, kind of the early adopters, the visionaries that were, like, I always felt that this was not enough. I had this, like, inclination, I had this kind of uneasiness that I don't have visibility into this kind of black box of my ERP, my supply chain, yeah, my CRM system. And, like, it kind of be, like, perfect, right? Like, how we're doing it. So we have this kind of, I would say, inbound interest. I think it materialized very quickly from a business perspective into actually paying customers. Mm. So we started, I would say, in a pretty unique way, where, like, one of the largest military organizations on the planet, actually from that research and education, they came to us and said, hey, we actually have this massive SAP implementation. It's mission, not only business critical, it's mission critical, right, supports a lot of our critical operations in the field, and we need to make sure it's secure. So they became customers. Like, we launched the product in September 2010, and in October 2010, they became the first customers. Using our first protocol on Ansys X1, which essentially help them automate and get visibility on the posture of the security platform, the SAP platform,
right,
because of course they were naturally concerned about nation state actors going after systems. And I think something maybe that they knew already, but maybe some of the rest of the market is catching up to, there was this myth that the hackers and threat actors, like, do not know SAP, or right, they don't know Oracle, they don't know business apps. It's too complex for them as well. And it was very clear then, in a small circle, and now very, I think, evident to everyone, that the threat actors know how to break it. Right? Yep. They know, they have ERP specialized exploits, they have intent, they have the capabilities, they know what they're doing, and they know how to compromise unsecure systems.
Right.
So they were, of course, ahead of the curve, and they became a customer. So very, and after that, we got from that bedroom, yeah, office in Argentina.
Yeah. Office.
we very quickly started signing up, like, Fortune 10, Fortune 100, Fortune 500 customers. So that was, I think, a clear indication that, okay, it's not a one-off. It's, yeah, not really just a cutting edge. It's going to be a mainstream problem that we need to solve.
Well, those are, like, huge companies, right? And so when you went in there, were you just a little surprised at, like, the state of security there? I mean, you know, everybody it has a certain amount of risk acceptance that they have in how they apply their cybersecurity. So especially with your experiences related to ERP security and SAP going in, was there anything that just kind of popped out to either of you that where you said, oh, wow, this might be a little bit worse than I thought it might be, but, you know.
To be honest.
Where do I start? It's like, it was always the same outcome.
Yeah.
That was, no matter the size of the company, how critical their data was, it was always the same outcome. Different vulnerabilities, combining them individually, full landscape compromise. Unfortunately, today, several years away from that beginning, still, the techniques are a little bit different, mm-hmm. the vulnerabilities are a little bit different, but still the same outcome. It's always full system compromise, right?
And I think maybe, like kind of looking back, right, and looking at things in perspective, I think that the challenge is that people who are like cybersecurity executives and even SAP administration teams and Oracle administration teams or business applications team, they were put in this very weak position that they were facing a risk that they couldn't manage because they didn't know about.
That's right.
So we didn't run into a lot of people that were saying, yeah, you know what? I don't care about this. Like, that's like, I think we found in the early days, like, a lot of people that thought it was impossible. Like, no, how, like, it's impossible for someone without a user to have full control of my ERP system.
Yeah.
But once you show them that, they quickly, like, you see the light bulbs go, oh my God, like, okay, now this is possible, we need to change. So I think there was this like gap in terms of like education, this false sense of security. So you cannot really blame people for that. I don't think there was a lot of Fortune 500 organizations being negligent,
sure.
saying, oh no, we don't need to secure our crown jewels, right?
Right.
They were doing what at that time was the right thing to do.
Right.
I think the big difference now is that the threat landscape has changed and the risk framework has changed. So you have to really evolve, and again, it's not last week, it has been changed for the last like 5 to 7 years, but now we know there are like public incidents, there are exploitation, there is activity. So now I think it's maybe as an executive in one of the organizations, it's a bit different because now you cannot say that you didn't know. Now it's a bit more about you care and evolving your security posture with the new threat landscape. I think that's a big kind of reflection back. It's like, yeah, people were just not ignoring the problem. They just didn't know this was a risk, right? And now I think it's been clear that it is and action has to be taken.
Yeah, I mean, complexity, lack of visibility almost equals impossibility,
right?
And so, you know, shining a light on that and making it seem a little bit easier is clearly going to be really helpful.
Absolutely.
So that's really interesting. So JP, I kind of want to dig into a little bit on those threats, right? So when you think back to those early days, and we've talked a little bit about the evolution thing, when you think back to the early days, what's maybe the biggest difference about the threats you saw sort of then versus kind of what's happening now? And like, is there anything that really stands out, or maybe it's just always the same because it kind of always seems the same, lather, rinse, repeat, right? So.
No, it's definitely been evolving over the years.
Sure.
And the main difference for me, having seen that evolution, is really threat activity and threat actors, understanding the technologies around ERP applications, understanding the exploits and the vulnerabilities and using them. It's on one side, we see automation of ERP vulnerabilities, which in the past that wasn't happening. And it's an evolved technology, the vulnerabilities are different, but really the automation, all of this threat activity around business applications, including business applications, because threat actors use everything and anything they have at their disposal to compromise systems and applications. They do that also with SAP applications as well, with ERP applications in general, right? They use that to access a system, to compromise, to do ransomware, to do even cryptocurrency mining. They try to really monetize the compromises in every possible way, and that goes through even financial fraud as well. They compromise the system. So the activity, the volume in threat activity that years ago we were not seeing that.
Gotcha.
Now it's way more evident.
So more activity, higher activity, greater sophistication is kind of what I'm hearing here.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think before you probably had more of a really advanced threat actor groups,
yep,
like exploiting these nation state, maybe some cyber criminals. Now what we're seeing, as JP was saying, is like even kind of hacktivism, even like I'll say kind of bug bounty, like kind of like individual hackers, people that are like having like the bar lowered a lot for people that want to get into like really trying to compromise like vulnerable ERP applications or business applications. So it's a lot of those theses around, hey, okay, the attackers do not know like ERP or business apps. And we've even seen recent incidents where attackers would break into the SAP, a vulnerable SAP system, and apply the patch themselves, the SAP security patch themselves, right, to remain undetected. So they not only know how to break in, they even know how to apply like the patch, right?
And cover the tracks.
And cover the tracks. So.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the knowledge, the evolution of understanding the ERP technology has been is significant. That's one example. We have seen also examples of exploitation, active exploitation of a specific SAP vulnerability before the exploit is even publicly available. Right?
Right.
So someone knows about that vulnerability. Yes, many people know about that vulnerability because it was a patched vulnerability, but someone knows how to exploit it and is exploiting it
right
before there is public knowledge about it. So that's another indication that, hey, threat actors understand this, know the technology, know the vulnerabilities, and they are using it even before it's publicly available knowledge.
Yeah,
and the good news is that now there's also way more information on the defenders.
That's right.
Right. It's not just like the attackers can do it. Now defenders have more ability to be able to monitor for this, to prevent this from
right
like trying to enforce the same or similar security policies and programs they have on the non-business app side to their business apps, right? So it's really about integrating these business critical apps into their programs, and now there's more capabilities and information to do that than ever before. So I think that's, and that's part of our mission, is really how do we help level the playing field,
right?
So there is no this asymmetry of like threat actors with a lot of knowledge and like companies in this like kind of really weak position.
Yeah, level the playing field is really interesting because you almost see the attackers, their playing field is kind of leveled out where there's more opportunity for them, there's more ability for them to learn, especially as things move to the cloud. And so all these tools now becoming readily available. And what we're doing, it's the arms race, as always,
right,
just elevating up the other side to be able to defend. So that's really great. So let's talk a little bit about today, JP. So you're the CTO, but you also happen to be the head of our innovation team and the chief czar leader of the Anapsys Research Labs, if you will. Why don't you tell me and the audience here a little bit about the Anapsys Research Labs, your team, kind of what you do, day in the life, if you will.
Absolutely, yeah. So the Research Labs is this team of very, very seasoned, very knowledgeable researchers on ERP security,
mm-hmm,
right? This team understands the technology behind ERP applications, they understand the vulnerabilities, and they are they are doing different things, mainly research, mainly trying to go back to the leveling the field, right, for security. Well, this team is finding the vulnerabilities before threat actors do, right? So they are reporting vulnerabilities to the ERP vendors. We have a great collaboration with SAP, with Oracle, having reported over 1,000 vulnerabilities historically. That's
awesome.
A huge milestone that happened last year. So that's the majority of their time. They also do penetration tests, right? So they go and do red teaming at different organizations to help them understand the weaknesses in their security posture on SAP. They are also typically invited to conferences like Black Hat, DEF CON, RSA. They are presenting at different continents about different topics on ERP security because this team is at the forefront of the research on this area. They definitely a lot of history, a lot of knowledge, a lot of expertise on this team have been built over the years.
Yeah, and you've even expanded out your capabilities with technology. So not only does your work infuse what we do with our technology that we give to all of our clients, but We also have our own threat intelligence cloud that we have up there and use that for observations as well.
Right? Absolutely, yeah. It's not just about understanding the vulnerabilities and detecting those vulnerabilities before bad guys do, but also it's understanding what threat actors do when they are in front of an ERP application, right? Like, so we have technology that allows us to understand these vulnerabilities being exploited, this misconfiguration is being used in this or that way, so we can inform our customers and the general public, because we do a lot of that thought leadership, security evangelization, based on what we learn from threat actors, what they are doing, how they are combining vulnerabilities, what CVE is. We release IOCs, we release open source tools to detect vulnerabilities and IOCs. So a lot of that is coming from the technology that we have, being able to detect and understand what threat actors do.
And as I recall, you work very closely with organizations like CISA, BSI, because even last year, I remember, there were a couple of instances where you detected elevated threat activity and you notified these government agencies to make sure everybody was protected, right?
Yeah. And the good thing is that different certs, like CISA and BSI, they have the capabilities to work with the private sector, we can share threat intelligence in the form of vulnerabilities, in the form of any type of indication that can help organizations prioritize properly their efforts to defend.
Yeah, I think that's a key word, right? Prioritize, because we know that CISOs of large organizations are already inundated, right, with the number of new vulnerabilities, new risks that you have to deal with every day. So it's really, how do we help them prioritize, like, the ones that really matter, right? And the ones you have to take action now, because we see threat activity, we see intelligence that tells us that you have like two critical vulnerabilities across all your SAP environment. You know what, actually in this one we're seeing exploitation today, and we see this is more likely to be compromised based on a specific setup. So we help them really guide that, like, that action and that remediation. Because I think you need to start with that visibility, but it easily gets overwhelming, mm-hmm. right? Especially if you've never done it before. So it's really helping them prioritize and make sure that they're, you know, from an ROI perspective, they're investing wisely in protecting what matters versus trying to boil the ocean. We also, as JP mentioned, this research that we do on the zero-day side, I think it's critical that, of course, it creates an advantage for our customers from what they get from the platform. They get zero-day protection. They get a lot of benefits. But we always work with the vendors.
That's so right.
We always report the finding, so they can also develop a patch for every customer, not just on Appsys customers, but everyone that has those implementations. We believe it's the right thing to do ethically to make sure that information also gets to the vendors so they can get the patch out as quick as possible. So that way we also help in, I think, from a community perspective and working with organizations like CIS and BSI to make sure that everyone is protected, even if they may not have today their Appsys product.
Yeah, you bring up a really great point. So we have very close relationships with all these different vendors, right? And so I know that that's evolved over the years, obviously, and I think both of you wear different hats as you work with SAP and Oracle and other ERP vendors in that regard. So, you know, when I think about vulnerability research, the threat disclosure piece, that's kind of where you're sort of sitting, and a lot of the overall, like, business piece of it and strategy, and that's sort of where you're sitting. Maybe let's tell the audience a little bit about, you know, what we've been working on, and then, you know, maybe what kind of stands out as real milestones just the past year or so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it basically everything we're doing with our partners, it's building on this, like, incredible foundation that JP built with his team, and this, like, technical and cybersecurity research collaboration that we've done over the last decade. What I think that also created, if you look at it from a business traction product perspective, so we capture all this intelligence and this research into our platform. We have customers subscribing to the platform to get protection. And I think what really happened over the last years is that OnAppsys became the industry standard to solve this problem, right? When you think about ERP cybersecurity and business apps, most organizations are using OnAppsys in this regard, as well as the enterprise vendors, partners, like ecosystem of system integrators, audit consulting firms. So I think what ended up happening is, as we started getting this traction, even their customers started asking that, like SAP and Oracle, hey, how come OnAppsys is not part of the bill of materials? Like, how come, like, it's like it would be easier if you guys were working together in a different way, because I know I need OnAppsys. I'm doing this huge cloud transformation. like how can we do this easy? Like how can you guys make it easy for me?
Yeah.
So I think specifically the last couple of years we've been working very well from evolving the partnership perspective to solve that problem. Last year we announced a new partnership with Oracle. Now we're powering one of the new offerings from the Oracle team on application security, and they're using Onapsis to support that offering. On the SAP side, it's recently announced a couple of weeks ago, and we also entered the new strategic partnership with SAP, by which now Onapsis is the only cybersecurity and compliance solution endorsed by SAP officially.
Yeah.
And what that really means for customers out there is that you can work now with your SAP executive, account executive, you can work with your team, and there is a much easier way to consume Onapsis and to enjoy, like realize the benefits of Onapsis as part of your SAP transformations. And at the end of the day, I think that it's a perfect partnership in the sense that we are all aligned. I mean, SAP are aligned today, the fastest growing cloud vendors, right? So there is the helping a lot of organizations move to the cloud, go to S4, to RISE, to OCI.
Yep.
And what we are doing from Onapsis is helping them accelerate those initiatives, like, and doing that securely, right? Without having to compromise on security. So it's a win for the customer, it's a win for the system integrator, it's a win for the vendor, and it's a win for us.
Right.
So it's a great great set of partnerships that are recent that we're very excited about.
So ensure that security remains an enabler instead of a blocker for all the digital transformation.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic. So you know, we're running a little bit out of time here, so what I thought I would do is just kind of say, I'm going to turn to each of you and we'll say, well, what do you think the biggest challenge or the biggest piece of advice you can give to our audience before we leave related to cybersecurity and related to what they're doing? Big question.
Yeah,
so sorry.
JP, you go
JP goes first.
It's a hard question, so maybe JP is a smart guy.
Yeah, my piece of advice comes from the work that the research labs is doing.
Yep.
It's really like make security a priority. There is no magic answer to address the security problem. It's really like software. ERP applications are based on software, a very complex one. Mm-hmm. So vulnerabilities are always going to be present in software as long as software is built by humans.
Yeah.
I don't know, with all these latest advancements, maybe there's that changes. But jokes aside, it's a matter of being purposeful about security, right? Like second Tuesday of every month, quarterly for Oracle, second Tuesday of every month for SAP, you will have new vulnerabilities that you need to address. So make sure that you are purposeful about it, because threat actors definitely are. So they are leveraging that, and we see that in our threat intelligence network. So take advantage of the fact that the Onapsis Research Labs is always helping improve the security of business applications. So it's just a matter of having the process to implement those patches. The security is not just patches, of course. It's really like putting a program in place to address all of the different areas of risk, but at least from the research perspective, I would encourage you to be purposeful about making sure that those patches are applied timely.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. I think from my perspective, it's hard
to follow. Yeah, it's really good.
I would say the only thing to add there would be, I think it starts with visibility, right? And if you're going back to the beginnings, we realized it was this huge gap in the security posture of organizations running business apps. Now we know it's a fact, right? Now I think, again, as I said at the beginning, it wasn't negligence then.
Yeah.
I think now there's like a lot of evidence that this has to change and this is a material risk. And I think it starts with visibility. I think there's still a lot of organizations that are only now starting to discover this challenge. So I think the probably maybe like as a one action, it would be going back in your companies, going to your security teams and SAP, Oracle teams, administration teams, and ask them like how are we securing the systems? Like what are we doing? If the response you get is like, oh, we're doing segregation of duties, we're doing like GRC type of access controls and access management controls, I think like the best action to go there is to take like to perform an assessment, right? Perform a quick assessment to get a sense of like what the security posture is, because 9 out of 10, if that's the only thing that's being done, again, it's necessary. It's very important to do that, it will just never be enough. It's not designed to protect cyber attacks or prevent cyber attacks. So it's very important to start with that assessment because it's really where you need to get a sense of like where you stand today and be like, you cannot manage a risk you don't know or you don't understand. So the first thing is to understand and measure the risk, and then again, take prioritize action on what's the most important things to fix. So that would be my recommendation.
So get visibility, understand your risk posture, be purposeful with your security. Perfect.
Couldn't
possibly roll it up any better. So this has been a fantastic session. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Mariano and JP. For those of you who are on the Bright Talk page, I would normally flash up a QR code at this point so you can see the rest of the series. It's a little bit more challenging in person. So I will ask you to maybe click some of the links that you see on your Bright Talk page to watch some of the other sessions on demand and share with your coworkers and colleagues. And visit us at anapsys.com. Thanks again for joining us and have a great day.